We'd appreciate if everyone would be seated so we can begin our program. In the name of the Igor Menali Yeshivas, it's my pleasure this evening to welcome all of you. This is an annual community symposium on Chinuch that's coordinated and sponsored by the Mintz family. It's dedicated to the memory of the noted Mechanech, Rabbi Isaac Mintz, Olo Shalom, on the occasion of his 16th Yahrzeit. L'schusay ul'il nishmasay. This week, we begin Parshas Lech Lecha, and the Friedrich Rebbe says in the name of his father, the Rebbe Rishab, this the emes of Freilich Avoch. Al etek from the Voch, lepnim mit Avram Avinu. The Rebbe tells us that just like Avram Avinu, through that he was Mekayim, the Lech Lecha, the continuous Halicha, Mechayel El Choyel, going higher in his Avodas Hashem, he was Zoicha to V'nivruchu V'cha, Kol Mishpacha Yisho Adama U'V'Zarecha. Just like Avram Avinu was Zoicha to this Bracha, the same thing is each and every one of us. B'nei Avram Yitzchak V'Yankov, B'nei Yisrael Rachel, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, by us also being Mekayim the Lech Lecha in everything that we do, striving to improve the way we do things, our ideas, we are preparing the way for the V'niglo Kvoid Avaya V'roko Basu Yachtov Kipi Hashem Dibir. This is all a hachana. Tonight is a lech lecha. It says, v'negeyat Avram Avinu, that the Eivishter had a special chiba and ahava to him, ki yidaitiv l'mana sheyitzave ezbonav ezbeisoy achrav. V'shomru derech Hashem lasi tztoko u'mishpat. The special ahava that the Eibishter had of Avram Avinu was because he was mamshich, the Derech Hashem, with a Mesira and a Sina, with a Mesiris Nefesh, to his children. All of us that are gathered here this evening have a special schus and achrayis. We are links in the chain. And we feel that we want to be able to be mamshich, the Derech Hashem, to each and every one of our children. Yet today there are challenges. There are very many challenges today that our parents, grandparents did not have. That's why we have the good fortune of having Rabbi Avram Dover Ganz, Aaron Dover Ganz, who came to this evening, who is going to provide us with the tools to create a proper Chassidish environment in our homes, to instill Midas Toivus, Derech Eretz, and Yiras Shemayim in our children, to help mold our children's Hashkofes, and that we should thrive, not just survive in today's trying times. Before I ask Rabbi Ganz to come up, I wanted to give a special thanks to Ms. Esther Blau for her valuable assistance and to Ms. Divi Baumgarten for all her help. You'll notice on the seats there are papers that after Rabbi Ganz completes his Divrei Chizuk and his Oiris, you'll have the opportunity to put down any questions. They'll be handed to the front. And as much as time allows, Rabbi Ganz has agreed to help us out in our challenge of being mechanech our children. I'd like to call upon Rabbi Ganz.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Newman, Rabbi Mintz, and especially for all those who took off from their precious time to give for their precious children. I once walked into a shul and I saw a person davening to Hashem in a way that I never saw before, with such a sincere honesty, asking for detail. 2 bottles of milk, a bottle of orange juice. The Con Ed bill is $248. I envied the man with such a betachen. And I went to peek under the talus to see who I am envying. And I realized this has a cell phone with his wife. I lost my entire envy. But since then I have my duty that before I speak, I shut off my phone. My son-in-law told me that a younger man came over to him in Kedel today, and he asked him, "Is your father-in-law really that big expert in chinuch?" I hope and pray that he answered a resounding yes. But to you, I'll tell the truth. I'm by far not. So the question is, if that's the case, what am I doing here at the podium sharing with you? I'm sitting together with each and every one. We have the same challenges as everybody else has. We're trying to steer the ship in the same ocean as everybody, going against the tide of the barrage of what goes on in today's world. And together, we're trying to figure out a kivun, a derech, a certain target where we're trying to reach. And I don't think it's a question in detail of professionalism and being an expert in chinuch. And let me explain. If a person wants to get to Montreal, the eighth is to take a car and to make sure that it has gas and to go on to the 87 north. Once he did these three things, eventually he will get to Montreal. He might run out of gas. He might have an old jalopy that just goes 20 miles per hour. He might be even towed in the middle of the way. But nevertheless, he's facing north, he's heading towards Montreal, he will get there. On the way, you might need experts. Some might have to come give him some additional gas, maybe a boost. And you need to have experts, and they will help him. That's called mashpiim, mechanchem, a warm mother and father, to guide along and to push along and to aid and to help us to get to our goal. But if we will set ourselves up on 80 West, we'll get to Las Vegas. And no mashpia in the world will ever, ever help. Perhaps he'll slow the pace. We'll get there a little later. Or perhaps we'll stop him in the middle of the way. He only make it till Montana. But the real change around will take a miracle, because the kivun is the wrong kivun. The direction is not the right direction. What I'm going to try to talk tonight is about direction. I'm not an expert. And I too, I'm not going to say I'm perfect. If you come to my Shabbos table, not necessarily that you won't find my kids bickering there, and that everybody has the right, exact amount of their cheddar as I would expect. The kivun is the right kivun. And somehow, in today's age, what goes on out there, we lost it. And we need to reassemble and to get together once again, to get ourselves on a Highway 87 North, and to go to our direction where we want to get to. I don't think we need experts for that. We need Abisal Yerushalayim and sincerity. It's very clear. I don't think it takes a brain surgeon or a rocket scientist to figure it out. And we'll go through the steps slowly by that. I look at many parents, including at my own parents, my own mother and father, Holocaust survivors. I don't think they ever went to chinuch school in their life. They never had a moment time to do that. And they raised a family in America in a difficult time, less than today, but also their challenges in their days. I look at my brothers and sisters. I think they did a phenomenal job. Can we improve? Of course we could. Can we do even better? There's no measure. If good is good, isn't better better? But let's be on the right kivun. They say there was once a person who was sleeping on a hard bench a whole night. And he woke up in the morning and somehow the left side was aching, the upper shoulder was aching, and he went to a chiropractor and he tried to figure out, and he asked him all kinds of questions. And then he told him, go back and see where you were sleeping, maybe you had a bad mattress. So he came back to his hard bench and he looked around and he found a feather. And he says, aha, now I know where I went wrong. There are such things, they're so clear today, that we miss in many areas of simplicity, of Yesedus, of Yerushalayim. And if we would just make minor changes to those things, and sometimes perhaps major changes, the outcome, the consequence, would be major as well. There is no secret that there was lately published an article in the Neshe newsletter that happened to carry my name. And a lot is discussed over there about discipline, how that is all forgotten, and people are not using it anymore. It is taboo. And somehow in the name of Chassidus, as if Chassidus is want us just to pour and shed light. And we can never mention anything of Sur Meira. And the main thing is the ideas of Asay Toiv, and just have the beauty of Gatlachkeit, that somehow Hamoyer Shabbat will raise our children in such a way that no generation ever did. And will just bring Mashiach immediately. The question is asked, and a very well question, a very good question. What's doing with Divrei Chachamim Benachas Yishmoim? What's doing with the Mamar Chazal? Avihi Chavei Talmid Chachavir Alechu Kishalach. The famous pasuk that Rebbe mentioned a million times, the Racheya Darchei Noyam V'chol Nesiviseh Shalom. Teira is about peace, about beauty, about Ahava V'achva V'shalom V'reyus. The Gemara says every Friday night the husband has to tell his wife, Eraftem, Esartem, Hadliku Esaneir. And the Gemara says all these things one has to say B'nichusa. One has to say it in a very accepting way, not in a dominating way, but rather in a soft voice, in a way that it's be'ofen hamiskaveh. Where does all this fit with this rigid understanding of discipline? I once heard the story. Perhaps the details of the story I don't know, and some of you might correct me later, but the gist of the story is true. The way I heard it was that a woman came once to the Rebbetzin. And she asked the Rebbetzin, I guess it wasn't the women from our circles, and she asked the Rebbetzin, I heard it all. I know women are potter from mitzvah saseh shazman gerama because they're busy with raising their children. So therefore they don't have to learn. I know they're potter of mitzvah saseh shazman gerama because women have higher neshamas. Women have been a yeseder. And therefore they're higher in the Shalas, then naturally their inklings are higher and more Yirei Shemayim. She said, I understand, I understand, I know it all. He says, but one thing, I never saw a woman standing in front of the Yomet, and I never saw her getting an Aliyah. Please, cut it out. Tell me the truth. What's going on over here? The way I heard the story was that Rebbetzin related the question to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe told her to respond. If you ever saw a tall skyscraper building, no matter how many floors you see sticking out of the ground, you should know there are quite a few underground. They're called a foundation. A foundation, the higher the building is, the deeper the foundation is rooted. A foundation is never visible. God forbid if somebody tries to take away the sand around every foundation. A foundation is meant to be called Kivuda Bas Melech Pnima. But nevertheless, there's an entire beautiful edifice, a beautiful home built upon that. One cannot live in a foundation. A foundation isn't painted. A foundation has no bedrooms. It has no dining rooms. It has no food and no light and no warmth. Nevertheless, it is the root. It is a foundation upon which you build everything after that. In Jewish life, in Yiddish life, we have both. We have a Yisoid HaBayis, and then we have a Bayis. There is no question that 90% that goes on in Chinuch in a house is not saying no, no, you can't, don't. It is not raising a voice, it is not screaming, and it's not patching. And it is not punishment. 90% of Chinuch is the Racheya Darchei Noyem. It is the beautiful words of Torah that we learn every day, the Hayom Yom that we learn with the children every day, the Sicha is the Igris, it is the beauty, the light of Torah that should permeate and penetrate in our children. But nevertheless, if we did not put that edifice on a beautiful, beautiful foundation, or rather not a beautiful, but a very rigid, solid and strong foundation, the entire house might wither away and just fall apart. And not touch the child at all. We know that in that article, we tried to compare, and it's not a comparison, that a Yidin with the Eibishter is a marriage, it's a Nisuyin. If one looks into the Tashbetz explains a vision that all the halachas we know today of a chasana are literally taken from Matan Torah. It is not that Nisuyin is a marshal for Matan Torah. A Matan Torah is the Yisait where Nisuyin is taken from. Hachasin goes Likras Kala, is taken from the Pasuk. Hashem picked up the mountain, that's where we learn now the Chuppah. The mountain was the Chuppah over us. The Nisuyin between Yidin and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the foundation of Klal Yisrael till today. Today, the way we practice a marriage is we get engaged, and 6 weeks later, we're standing under the chuppah, and then begins the kiddushin. In times gone by, in the times of Chazal, it worked differently. In the times of Chazal, kiddushin took place first. And after that, after there was a kiddushin, when the husband wanted to get married, he had to ask her, propose, and he had to give her 12 months for preparation. 12 months of preparation till the chuppah. We know, anybody ever learned Masechti Kiddushin knows Kiddushin has one purpose and one purpose only. The Aser Lei Akuliyom. A woman does not become closer to her husband. Kala Bebeis Chamiya is Aser. A Kala without a bracha, without the chuppah, without the brachas and sheva brachas, is Aser Yichud Bebeis Chamiya. She cannot go there. So what is Kiddushin? What was the purpose of giving that ring 12 months earlier? The Aser Lei Akulei Alma. To make sure that everybody else is out. It took 12 months to decide, I have one husband and one husband alone. Ein Oid Melvadei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And 12 months is the preparation of getting all the rest out. There are gaguim to get to the chuppah. There are gaguim towards the day you will have a family a wholesome, a beautiful edifice, a household with all the beauty of what a house has to offer, what a husband and children have to offer, what a family has to offer. But meanwhile, we have Kiddushin. After a beautiful, beautiful Kiddushin comes a chuppah, and the bracha in the chuppah is ahava, ve'achava, ve'shalom, ve'reyus. That's where the household begins to build. That is on top of that foundation. Of course, after the chuppah, Kiddushin doesn't end. Kiddushin is a pu'ula nimsheches for the rest of our lives. That everything else is out. There's our beautiful family, and ein oid milvadi, there's nothing else on the outside. No outside influences, no outside books, no outside hashkofas, no outside any kind of an influence that could hinder, chas v'shalom, the relationship between a woman and a husband, between a Yisrael v'akadosh baruch hu, is all based on that foundation of Kiddushin. But later on in life, it's only felt, not heard. For 12 months we work on it. And then, it comes ahava, v'achva, v'shalom, v'reyus. The foundation is palpated. The foundation is rigid. The foundation is there, as we call it, the foundation. It will never move. It will keep the house in place. It will keep the house together. It will keep everybody in the house peaceful, that nobody is trying to run and look someplace else, chas v'shalom. But nevertheless, the ordinary, what goes on every day, is lumed ha-teira, asei teiv, chsidus, farbrengenishen, und Wahrheit. But it's meyusut on that yeseit. We know, steht in Svarim, Yisrei was named Yisrei al sheyeser parsha achas bateire. He added the parsha, and the Gemara tells us, Chazal tells us, the parsha is ve'ata sechze. And you should go and look and find the 10 people, the Sarah Alofim, Sarah Meyers, v'chulu. If anybody opens the Chumash, the Parsha does not begin with Ve'ata Sechze. The Parsha begins with Loisucha Lasoyu Levadecha, you won't be able to do it. Novoil Tibel, you'll fall apart. The Yidden are too difficult for you, you can't do it as one man alone. A lot of Musar. Nevertheless, that's not the Parsha that is called upon the name of Yisrei. But nevertheless, those Psukim were not taken out of Teira. They're an integral part of Teira till today. They're the foundation upon which we build V'ata Sechze. Once we understand that there's a difficulty, we understand, we admit to the Metzias, the realities, that their keiches are schlepping us away. Their keiches out there, raging. There's a sea, a barrage of things that are trying to go against everything that it's Kodesh Lanu. We understand that there is a possibility of Nobel Tibol, and we make a Kiddushin. We tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have nobody else but you. After that, came an Anfang, a Verlangen, we could expect from children, if everything else is out. If everything else is not in the equation, if everything else is out there, totally out, and not, didn't come into our home, we have a house on a foundation. Then we could expect children to enjoy a Shabbos table, and not to be nervous, when is it ending, and when is it finishing, and when am I running to my friends, and when is it Matzah Shabbos that I could change in my schleppy clothing, and I could run back and go. Because then we'll understand what we're enjoying. We'll know what is ours. We'll know where the Ahava V'Achva V'Shalom V'Reyes belongs. What's our home? What's a beautiful home? So, to get to the point, how do we do that? To build, as the title of tonight, to raise Chassidish kids on a solid foundation on Yerushalayim. How do we make that solid foundation? So a solid foundation has to have, I think it has to have 3 points, at least. First and foremost, a foundation is laid at the very beginning, before we do anything and everything else. Perhaps after the permit. But that's it. The foundation is the very beginning of everything. The second thing is, the foundation is something that is sound, sturdy, strong, rigid to the fact that it will never ever move. Thirdly, as the Rebbe said, The foundation cannot be visible. And let's see how we could follow these three goals in building the foundation for our homes, and see how we could actually follow them in reality, in practical terms, every day. A foundation is something we begin with. The Gemara tells an interesting story in Bava Basra. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla had a takon, which basically chinuch begins way back from the times of Yeshua ben Gamla. Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla made a takana that when a child was 16 or 17, they took him to Yerushalayim Ir HaKedesh, and they established Chadarim in Yerushalayim Ir HaKedesh. Tesis there, and the Rebbe hints to this tesis numerous times, hundreds of times. Tesis says, why in Yerushalayim Ir HaKedesh? So Tesis says, Amokim, Laman Tilmat Le'ira, learning is not just about learning, it's about learning how to have Yerushimayim, learning Torah and Amokim, where Avodas Halvim, Avodas HaKehanim is steady every day. You see, Yidden are Moser Nefesh to Hashem, doing Avodas Hashem constantly. That's a Mokim where you want to establish your home. That's a place on which you could build a Jewish home. So that's Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, and that's Tesis. But the Gemara tells us it wasn't Atzliach. When a Rebbe hit a child, the Rebbe became a little angry with the child was boyet and he left. In pure, simple English, it means the child became rebellious. He rebelled because he was reprimanded, and he just took off and left. So says the Gemara, what did Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla do? He decided from now on it's not in Yerushalayim. It's b'chal ir v'ir, b'chal plach v'plach. In every little corner, in every city, in every village, in every little place, there will be chadarim and yeshivas. And you won't bring the children when they're 16 or 17. Because if you're bringing them when they're 16 or 17, yes, they might rebel. When they have their independence, when they are their own foundation, when they have their own wills established, it's a bit too late. You bring them when they're 6 or 7, and v'safa aleihem kiteire, and you put upon them an abundance of work, like you feed an ox. And Rashi says, ba'al karcham. Not with their will, but actually you force them, you coerce them as they start out in life. Why aren't you scared they're going to rebel? That was the problem in the first place. So why did you add now that you do it in every city, and you add even more materials, and you do it when he's 6 or 7? And the answer is yes, if you do it when he's 6 or 7, he won't rebel when he is 16. If you begin when he is 16, he has a mind of his own, a life of his own, and mainly an opinion of his own. And therefore, it's a bit too late. So the very first idea is that Yisoid has to be late. That's the groundwork in the very beginning. Practically speaking, it means like this. Practically speaking, many of us are very reactive. A child comes home and he's chutzpahdik. All of a sudden we call up a mechanech, an expert. How do I deal with a child who is a chutzpahnyak? How do I overcome his chutzpah? How do I instill in him some derech eretz? We don't wait till a child comes home and he's chutzpahdik. We don't wait till a child comes home with a note from his teacher or his Rebbe that the child took someone else's candy, and we're afraid that he's getting into the idea of touching other people's stuff, perhaps into stealing. It's a bit too late. The child is confrontational now. Now you have a vikuach with him. No, I didn't do it. My friend did it. Yankele did it. Sarele did it. I never do such things. You're dealing with a wall. But if we would preempt this with proactive chinuch, a foundation. If we would sit when a child is 6 or 7, and every child should know Baal Peh, Hilchus Kibbud Av Ve'Eim from Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Every child should know Hilchus Kvod Rabbi from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. How does he have to walk into the classroom? When does he have to stand up if the Rebbe walks in? What is he allowed to answer? When is he not allowed to answer? What does Hashem demand from us if the child heard it when he was 6 or 7, that became, as a matter of fact, that became ingrained in him as a halacha, like the halacha of saying a bracha before you eat. That is called putting a foundation, a yisait. You preempt the problem by dealing with it way before it becomes a problem. That's called a yisait. We have many, many halachas that we never, ever addressed to our children. And we wait till we have a problem with them, and sometimes they're 16, that even the Yeshua ben Gamla raises his hands and says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. The Eitzah is, come earlier, start much earlier. The second one, the foundation, must be rigid. That's a little bit more complex and more complicated, and it takes a little bit of more effort than just teaching Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It has much more to it, and perhaps we'll dwell on this for a little while, of that second idea, which goes very much together with the very third idea of a foundation isn't visible. A foundation is felt, but not visible. There was once a person that wrote to the Rebbe that he has a school. I don't think it was a Chabad house. It was one of the Egan schools or something. But he has 12 students, 6 boys and 6 girls. And there's not enough money. And it's impossible to make separate classes. So he has no Breda. The board is pushing and pressuring that it should be co-ed. It's impossible otherwise. He has no Breda. And the Rebbe answered him, how come you have a board who have the audacity to demand that from you? What's wrong with you that you have a board that could still demand such a thing from you? In other words, we don't start with telling others. There is a way in chinuch that mishtelt sich avek, like a foundation, who is a klotz. It's standing solid. And mishtel tzachavek would certainly say this, that everybody around you knows this is something you don't touch. This is something you don't go there. It's immovable. It's unbudgeable. And that's a foundation. If mishtel tzachavek azay, nobody could ever come. Yeah, but they're demanding it. They're pressuring. Would he ever ask you to take down the mechitza and shul as well? Well, there's nothing wrong with them. Something very wrong with me if they could ask that from me. There is a way that we have to start doing things in such a way that our children would know these are not choices. These are not things, they're not variables. These are solid things, which azoy is in nisht anders. It says in Svarim, Yesav HaTzadik is known to be called Yesav HaTzadik for the gewaltige Siddhis Nefesh that he had with Eishas Petifar, with the Nisoyan Hagadol. And we look into Chumash. In Chumash, Yosef is giving beautiful explanations. He's explaining that I'm the biggest. Ein Gadol Babayis Hazem Imenu, I'm the biggest one. How could I betray your husband? How could I do such a thing? He gave over, he trusted me so much. I'm coming as a slave and he raised me to Shemayim. How can I do that? And then he says, V'chatasi le'lekim. How can I also be to such a gewaltig aveda to the Eivishta? How can I do such a thing? But the pasuk doesn't begin there. The pasuk begins with the lashon vayimoein. And anybody who ever looks into the pasuk sees that vayimoein has a shalshelus. Shalshelus is mentioned in the Torah 4 or 5 times. A shalshelus is something that you say 3 times. Vayimoein in such a way, he said, no, no, and no. Case closed. Nothing to discuss. Oh, now you want to have explanations? Okay, let's sit down and talk. But there's nothing in the world that will make me change my decision. We sit down, let's have a talk in the lach. Let's discuss it as if we're 2 adults. And it's part of the equation. And we're going to go through, have the discussion. I was so upset. I remember this summer, all the yeshivas got together, which was Alateda, Morristown, Lubavitcher Yeshiva, and many other yeshivas got together, and they made a rule that there could be no cell phones anymore, only kosher phones. I don't go on the internet, but I heard many people told me that the following week were hundreds of articles on blogs, and on Facebook, whatever they called, old Seamus and Nerdufim, of disputing what a mistake the yeshivas are making. How dare, and to me, the audacity, the chutzpah, and that's why they call it Hyde Park, because anybody knows that in back, whether it's in Oxford or any other place in London, there was a court called Hyde Park, where every, as they call it today, a mishugana, would stand at a podium and say anything and everything he has on his mind. He'd just stand up and he could say anything, he wants to rebel, to revolt, anti-establishment, that was the place. And today, with a press of a button, every shlemiel and every shlemazel could stand up, and he has a different opinion. As if anybody asked him, as if it makes any difference, as if he has hundreds of students every day, and he knows the results, factual, what goes on, what one cell phone, how many kids took down, under my watch, and under every other else's mechanic's watch, that they know for facts. But he has his opinion, and it's all discussed, and let's give him an answer, and somebody has to answer on the blog. It's all part of the equation. You see it, has a vaymoyen with a shalshelas. And if you say it that way, a vaymoyen with a shalshelas, that your child should know, sorry, I'm never going to ask this question again. And then, you will never have to say no again. You could never raise a child in a home where every second moment you say, no, don't touch this. No, we don't touch muktzah and Shabbos. How many times do I have to tell you this? No, we don't drink chalavakim. How many times? Unfortunately, such a household won't hold up. It will fall apart. We can't be negative all day. We have to say one vaymoyen when the child is six, that he knows never to ask that question again. And not only never to ask, he knows. Oh, that's treif. That's chazir. Okay, again, that I can't. And so we could do with everything in the world. We could do that with goyish books. We could do that with sneers dike begodim. We could do it with everything in the world if mir wollten sich a weggestellt. Very clear. There are no two ways about it. It's not up for discussion. These are the rules of the home. And if we start when they're 3, 4, and 5, you have a foundation that you don't have to say anymore again, no. I told my children many times. I came to Lubavitch when I was 20. They came to Lubavitch when they were 4 or 5, they realized they have friends in Lubavitch. They went to Vizhnitz. They didn't have one day off on Cheder. There's no such a thing as Chafesh. They went 365, I'm sorry, take off Shabbos and Yontov and Chalameit, and perhaps Erev Sukkos and Erev Pesach. But they went every day to Yeshiva. All of a sudden they realized the phenomena. That they have some friends now, with Avant and Tzemach Tzedek, together with other kids, who have off for 8 weeks or 10 weeks. All of a sudden, there was an Asayan, which never existed before. Never existed. It was very clear. Ayit, let him tell you. What do you mean? Can I take off? Can I say I'm only keeping 52 Shabbos and 51 Shabbos a year? Is one Shabbos up for grabs? Is one Shabbos free? What do you mean, chafesh? Ayit, let him tell you. Wasn't the question. All of a sudden, he was exposed. Started an Asayan. I made it very clear. You want to argue with me about bedtime? You want to have an extra hour? We'll discuss it. You want to have a keyboard? You want to learn piano? Perhaps. Maybe it's a good thing. We could discuss many things. But having off is not a discussion. And it's laid to rest. And I don't want to hear it once more. Whatever I had to explain why that was done, because the Rebbe wanted, because there's outreach, and we had Freie Kids in camp, and that was the only time we were able to give them, so we instituted such a thing. Whatever it was. But that was the last time I had to say it. You say once no, but it's said in such a way that you don't say it ever again. And therefore the house is peaceful. You tell your children, you want me to become an achzer? You want me to repeat every day no, 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 and be the Rosh Chas V'Shalom? Why can't we have a pleasant relationship? We will deal with Ayim Yoyim, and we'll learn Tanya together, and we'll have all pleasant moments together. That's out. And so we could do with many things, and with hundreds of things. Yesed bal timait. It's a foundation. A foundation isn't moved. A foundation is not up for discussion. A foundation is there. And it's also bal nira. It does not go with beauty. It does not go with explanation. And it doesn't go with all the trimmings that it comes with discussions that we have at the Shabbos table in a Pshat in a Rashi, in a Pshat in a Sicha. It is clear. It is said once, a Shalshelus of Aymoyen. And therefore it's not visible. This is it. And so, Dafman Zechavekstel. I remember I lived in a house in Muncie, which I rented from a younger man, a Lubavitcher younger man. I rented it from a Vizhinsky younger man who bought it from a friend of mine, a Lubavitcher younger man. So this younger man told me that at that time, when he was selling the house, he was able to sell it to a goy for $30,000 more. But it was a Yiddish black. Is this the right thing to do? You all know how the Rebbe screamed in Crown Heights, selling houses to a guy. So he went to Rabbi Vichen, Alav HaShalom, who was the Rebbe in Munson, and he asked him, listen, I have an assignment. A Yid wants to buy it for $70,000, and I could sell it to a guy for $100,000. I desperately need Parnassa. I promise you, it won't go for vacationing. The $30,000 will go for chinuch of my children for the prices the yeshivas ask today, and so on and so forth. So, he told me, the greatest favor Rabbi Vichen ever did to me. He turned to me, and he looked up, and he says, what? You're thinking of selling to a guy? That was the end of it. He says, imagine if he would have come in and put up his hat and start thinking, let's see. According to the Shach, when it's $30,000, you could. The Taz, maybe not. He says, even if we'll come with a conclusion with a bezin of three, that no, you cannot sell it to a goy. He says, every night I would cry, why can't I do like the Shach? Why not like the Shach? Why did I have to go like the Taz? Why? He says, this way, he made it so clear. I felt so bad for asking the question. How dare that I wanted to sell something in a Yiddish neighborhood for a goy? It was never a problem anymore. He says, I thanked until today, because otherwise I wouldn't have slept at night. That's why it was clear. We have to give our children clear guidance from when they're so young, when there are no other equations out there, and the Kiddushin has to be laid down there. That there is nothing else out in the world. We're living for Ein, Einzige Sach for Nevishin. Outside influences, no matter in which shape or form, are treif, mamish like chazir. And every form, whether it's a form of dress, but it's a form of hashkafas, of influences of different types of ideologies, whatever they are, if we made it clear to begin with, the shaila wouldn't be a shaila. People come and ask a shaila, how can I make my child go to mikveh? He doesn't want to go to mikveh. How can I do that? Maybe times are different. I am also human. And I'm also lazy. And I had many friends who were also human and lazy and had all the shtick that Bacharim had. I don't remember ever any Bachar to think of skipping mikveh. It happened once in a while. It was late to davening. It happened. I'm not saying that it didn't happen that we missed the mikveh once. But as a way of life, not to go to mikveh, didn't exist. It was somehow put into us in such a way that mikveh is not up for discussion. Mikveh, we're chassidim, and chassidim go to mikveh. Period. That was clear. I didn't sit down with him and give him 10 sikhs of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says over here, and I'll show you, and I'll prove to you, and I'll bring from the Alter Rebbe. Of course, after that, after it's solid given, of course we could learn with him kavanas hamikveh if you want. Of course, it is a beautiful thing to understand what the Alter Rebbe says about mikveh, and what the Mittel Rebbe says about mikveh, what the Baal Shem Tov says about mikveh, what the Rebbe says about mikveh. Of course. But does that make the question a yes or a no? If it does, then you're making the foundation visible, you're ruining it. Don't go there. Azayizdas. I remember I spoke once for women, and I told them that they said there was a Rav who was asked once, why does a certain minik? So he said, why? Because my Bobby used to do like that. So a person asked him, your Bobby used to do like that, and your Zaidi didn't? He says, no, my Zaidi also did. So he says, then why did you tell me your Bobby did? He says, if I would tell you my Zaidi did, you would ask me, what's the marker? Where does it see it? Where does it say? If I told you my Bobby did so, case closed. My Bobby did so, finish. Endict. Nothing to discuss. It's a foundation. Akeres Abayis is a foundation. Now you say it. Hazoidas. Let's not kid ourselves. It's something that I said over and over many times at many conventions of chinuch and so on. And I think we have to repeat it. I'll preface it with something. When we became Lubavitch, we had many, many discussions with colleagues, friends. It wasn't easy. It was a difficult transition. My teacher, Mendel Lechter, he had to go through the same, of course, if not more. And many people would come and argue about the shittas of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe is in support of Eretz Yisrael, that means Zionism, and so. And he was trying to explain. It has nothing to do with Zionism. We're talking there are 4 million Yidden living there. We're not talking of taking a Medina. It has to have protection, regardless of whether there's a Medina or not. If New Square would have any enemies surrounding you, you have to go out with Becherev Ubachnissen to defend Asif and Shulchan Aruch. It has nothing to do with Zionism, with Medina. It's a completely different situation. We're talking about the security of 4 million Yidden. Can Yirbu, as the Rebbe always kocht and screamed and so on. So I remember that they would argue, how can you change? Teres, Chadash, Asam, and Ateres was always Asar, it's still Asar. So he told them, there was once a Medina, a country who had an enemy. And the enemy lived in the north. And the enemy was a very shrewd and a very difficult enemy. You couldn't overcome him. A guerrilla war. They taught every child that every night before you say Shema, you take a pot or a pan or a fork and you throw it down to the other country. Now go fight a guerrilla war. Everybody was throwing every night toilet paper, whatever it was. You couldn't fight them. So, everybody knew, before you go to sleep, you have to fight back. You have to go to the north and shoot, and shoot, and shoot. So the enemy realized that Tzaddis, they got the upper hand. So they decided one night, and they slipped into the south. And they came from the south, and they started throwing pots and pans and grenades from the south. So here became a big, big dilemma in the city. Some said, Chodesh Asa Minateira, we shoot at the north. We shoot at the north. That's how my Zay did it. My elders, they did it. And of course, we understand we don't shoot at the north. We shoot where the enemy is. The enemy went to the south. Life is a pendulum. And the Yetzer is a Kluginker. The Yetzer is a Kluginker, and it has special, special poison and special chachmalach for every society. He has special ways how he goes to Litvisha people to misnag them. He has a special Yetzer Hara how he goes into Ungarische Heiser. And he has a special, special way how he goes to Chassidish and Lubavitcher Heiser. If it wouldn't be that way, then Chassidus would prevail and Mashiach would have been here a long, long time, Bepoel Mamish. And we wouldn't have these rushes. But because the Yetzer is still Yetzer, and he has ways, and every generation he changes them. And figures out we're learning Chassidus, so he finds a way that even with Chassidus, and with Tanya, and with Likut HaSichus, he could still find a way how to seep in. And we have to be Klugingers too, to know maybe he's not in the north now, he's in the south, and we have to do different methods. And that's constantly how we have to think. And if we realize the internet wasn't available in those days, and now there is, perhaps new methods have to be delegated or brought into the picture, how to deal with. What I'm trying to point to is I'll tell you a story. They say there was once a Bobby who moved into a new elder living house, assisted living, but she had a beautiful, beautiful dining room and a bedroom, and she loved her new home, and she was eager to see the Einiklach come visit. And all the Einiklach are calling one after the other, and she invites everybody, and they ask the directions. She says, okay, I'll give you directions, it's very simple. She says, go on the turnpike and exit 7, make a right on Fancy on the Hudson, and make a left on Terrace View. The 7th house on the right is my building. As you go in there, you'll see I live on 2J. He says, with your right elbow, press 2J. He says, as you go into the elevator with your left elbow, press number 2. And you come into my apartment, the bell, with your left elbow, press the bell. Is it easy enough? And the Aniklis say, Bobby, it's beautiful, it's very easy. But what's all about the elbow? What's going on with the elbow? She says, you mean to say you're coming empty-handed? An Eirich comes for Shabbos. An Eirich comes for Shabbos. We make sure that it should be the most comfortable and it should be the most pleasing Shabbos for him. So 10 minutes before he walks in is the biggest balagan, because we didn't change the linen yet, and we didn't put the nuts in his room in his little, and we didn't refill the refrigerator where he's staying in his room. It's going on a balagan. But the second he comes, still beautiful. For an Eirich, it's gewaltig. That's what he needs to see. Peaceful. It's beautiful. All he sees is a beautiful Shabbos. And if he would be a guest every Shabbos and then in another house, that's all he would see in a lifetime. Beautiful Shabbos. He would think Shabbos comes down with the rockets from Shemayim. Bo Shabbos, bo menucha. It settles in and you have a bed, and you have chont, and you have food. Samachaya. It's ushered in by means of who knows what. God forbid if you should treat your children to such a Shabbos. If you never taught him, Misha Torach be'erev Shabbos, Yechel b'Shabbos. God forbid if you bring in children Shabbos on after Shkia, and they were not involved into the Friday and Thursday night and the shopping and so on and everything that goes on. We have something that nobody in the world has. We have the most beautiful, beautiful building, the most beautiful edifice that the world ever had before. It's Chassidus. It's the Alter Rebbe's Chassidus, and it's on top of all that the Rebbe's Chassidus. As the Avraham Mayor always used to say, ah, verdank dem Rebbe for as a grace in God. Because only because of the Rebbe we know of such a grace in God. We have the most beautiful, beautiful building, and somehow we forgot that we too have to lay Yesedis. We forgot that we too have to employ Kiddushin, and you just can't come to the Chuppah. No Torah Be'erev Shabbos. We're a guest. Thousands and thousands of people are coming to Lubavitch daily. Whether it's a Chassidus on the line, whether it's like people like us who came from all Kreis and from all different Chugim in Klal Yisrael, whether it's Litvish, Chassidish, Ungarish, Polish, whatever you want. And people saw the beauty of that beautiful home. And it was just a magnet. But all of those people had a solid, solid foundation of Yiras Shamayim. It was missing that beautiful touch, the beautiful ornament that Chassidus adds was missing. The beautiful draperies on the windows, or the opening windows that shines in the Getlachkeit Elokus that Chassidus gives, was missing. They only saw that. What a beauty. The question is, they could make a mistake. Can we just give over our children just that? It will just fall apart. It's standing on nothing. If you have a beautiful foundation, then you don't want to look at the outside. You only want to look into the inside. Then the inside must be beautiful. If you don't beautify the inside, eventually, chas v'shalom, if there's no ahava v'achva v'shalom v'reis going on at home, chas v'shalom, a divorce can happen, and they're going to run someplace else. Obviously, that is what chinuch is. The beauty every day that a child should enjoy a Shabbos dish, that a child should enjoy mitzvahs. Of course that should be there. But on a foundation that the outside is out. Because if he's still being pulled there, then who knows if that competition isn't much, much, much greater than with the greatest and the most beautiful what Chassidus has to offer. Unfortunately, one video sometimes could be much more intriguing to a Nefesh HaBahamis than the most beautiful, beautiful Sicha. If we fool ourselves, we have nobody else to blame for it. And the truth of the matter is, I was not mechadesh anything tonight. Everybody here in this room is the same expert as I am. And we all did it very well. I asked many times ourselves, did we have many times, certainly not 5-10 years ago, did we have many times bacharim or girls coming to ask a question? Who says the Baal Shem Tov was right? Maybe the girl was right. Did we ever face such students in Cheder? I didn't. It was so simple. It was so clear that the Baal Shem Tov is the Baal Shem Tov. Who said the Alter Rebbe was right? Maybe Chaim Volozhiner was right. Ach weis nich. We have the tools to inculcate things we want to inculcate. And we have the tools, and we have the wherewithal, and we have the means and with the know-how how to implement in our children things we want them to know. And I don't think any child came to ask us, even in today's machlekes, from Litvishe Gedolim, who says the Rebbe was right? Maybe it was that other fellow. It was very clear to us. We had the tools to make it rigid and clear. It was simplicity. It was a foundation. Yerushalayim, we never spoke about. Yerushalayim is either we can't do the foundation because it's too misnagdish to talk about simply Lashon Hara and Lefum Tzare Agra and about Tzchar and about consequences. That's too misnagdish. Whether in the house, in the beautiful edifice, to make it really very geschmack, it might be called Chitzainis Chazusham, that's Ungarish. So sometimes we're left Kerach Mikan, Kerach Mikan. Too rigid is Misnagdish, too heartsick and too warm is Viberish and in Ungarish and Polish, and so we're this just middle of the road. The exact. Case study. But not a house, not a life, and not a family. So we know exactly how to inculcate things, what we want. We have to start doing that and start living with the simplicity of Yiras Shamayim, that they are mighty important before we do anything else. We have to start that from day one. But I'd like to add to this a little bit. Maura Tachtel told me once that she went to Flatbush and she realized an interesting phenomenon. She says, I wish we could do that in Crown Heights too. She says, a Rav was sitting and giving hadracha, advice, halacha, and there were 200 women sitting there listening for 2 hours with a pen and paper writing down all the halachas of muktzah and all the halachas of which makeup you could use in Shabbos, which you can't, and hundreds of halachas. She says it was dry. No inspiration whatsoever. There was no entertainment involved. Just simplistic halachas. He says, I would never be able to keep a crowd like this. How in the world are they able to do that? And I was thinking to myself, let's take an example. If I would be a Litvisha person, my whole kach is Lashon Hara. Am I guaranteed that I'm not talking Lashon Hara? Obviously I am. But so I need a little bit of embellishments. I need to learn a little bit more Chafetz Chaim. A little bit more Shmiras HaLashon. That would do it. But I'm eager to know everything about it. I want to know everything about it. And it wouldn't take much just to make me better. Because that's what I want. How about if I'm a person who's just laughing at this entire movement? And just mocking at the whole thing. Shugasin, they're busy with Lashon Hara all day. Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara. With giving another class of Shmiras HaLashon help me anything. The whole thing is a little tzonis in my eyes. What in the world would just another class or another class do if the whole thing is not ingrained in me that it's a necessity altogether? Let's face it. In many areas, it is not a question how. What are the tools? How do we bring it into our children? I'm lost. I don't know how to do it. It is sometimes, unfortunately, it is not ingrained in us that it's important. It's not ingrained in us that it's necessary, and we laugh at it. And of course our children too laugh with us. When it comes to the extreme that we didn't want to go, they take it a generation later. Oh, then we wake up. What do we do? Of course they took it a bit further. Every generation is Yiridus Adairus. But if they would have seen in us the burning desire that we want to implement it, would be no big deal. We wouldn't need rocket scientists to put it in. We just have to open the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and read to the children the way we read everything about Chassidus, about the Rebbe, about the Skashas. We have to read everything about Yiddish Shemayim and Chassidus and Teir and Yiddish Shemayim. And that would be part of their fiber. Many times we come struggles, whether it's Sneas or other things, and it takes hundreds and hundreds of people to do all kinds of involvements and turning around when they're clear halachas, simplistic halachas. And I see the Rebbe, if one should try tomorrow, open a Nigris Kedish of the Rebbe. Lukutus Sichas, and you'll see. If the Rebbe talks about a halacha, there is no discussion. The Rebbe just makes a matter mocking. Shulchan Aruch, Simon, this and this, that's it. The end of the discussion. Why is that important? Halacha. If the Rebbe wants to talk about Hafatzas Hamayonos, there are 15 pages about it. Explanation and the beauty. Well, that is something you have to explain. Hafatzas Hamayonos is the Rebbe's singing. That is something that has to come with an explanation. When it comes to anything that the Rebbe wanted to isfir, and to give keneged halacha, or it's a shaila that it's aser, or it's keneged hashkafa, it's kendik, in two lines, and it's over. And you follow this, you could follow it with every igris you want. But it's very simple. Because these are the foundations that we have to lay down. They're simple. That's how they are. So, which brings us to the final note of the idea of how to bring in Yiddish Shemayim and our children. Is first and foremost, there has to be negeya to us. It has to be negeya to us. And Baruch Hashem, if you look around, everybody knows I'm not a professor in anything. As Rabbi Vyshetsky used to say, I have a PhD, I'm a pickle Harry deliverer. That's my PhD. I went to Yale University, that I did. I sat by the Yale for many, many months before I became a Lubavitcher. But I have no other degrees, no professions, and so on. And yet, hundreds and hundreds of men and women, mothers and fathers, came together, just listened how to lay foundations. You say this for Yiddish Shemayim. That means that there is a great burning desire. So why am I so negative? Baruch Hashem, Ken Yirbu. There's so many of us sitting over here, eagerly listening to this boring speech of the solid, rigid foundation, which can't be beautified, can't be embellished, and is not even to be visible. There's an old saying, all evil needs to thrive is for good people to say nothing. And that is another point when we need a foundation. In order to have a foundation, all the things we're talking have to become as a matter of fact. As we spoke before. If you allow, as we spoke before, children to be exposed to other things, even if they'll overcome it and they'll win it, it's not as a matter of fact anymore. There are those who do differently. We gather, we eat challah v'sroel. There are those who don't. It's a lower madrega already. It's a lower madrega. I told many times, there was in Muncie, there was a radio station, a kosher Yiddish radio station, who had once a week a row of answering shilas. So there's a teenager called up, and he asked the row of a shila. He says, I'm going out this week with a girl, I'm dating, and I'm a shemer negia, and I have a shila. I forgot what the shila was, in a taxi, I forgot what the shila was. The Rav asked him, you are what? He said, I'm a Shemer Negia. The Rav said, what? So he started to explain. That means that we don't touch. What? So I heard the Rav dropping his jaw on the radio. He said, aha, there are those Yidden who are not Shemer Negia? Or what? The new concept of Yiddishkeit, Shemer Negia, it's a halachah. The very fact that you're a Shemer Negia is Achen Vei. It's an equation. For those who are, I'm a Frumak. I don't know how long I will be able to withstand the Nisayon. Maybe one day I won't. Right now I'm still a Shemer Negia. And so too, by having, being exposed to other things, by allowing around us to be rampant things which are Kineged Yerushalayim, Kineged Sneas, Cheneged the ruach of Hashkafa of Chassidus, we fall many, many faults. And even though, yes, we're here, and we really, really want be'emes, the best for our children. But the very fact that Mamazich HaShavegishtel, that not only my children shouldn't ask the question, but somebody else shouldn't be able to do it in front of me. If there's somebody able to walk on the streets with an uncovered hair in front of me, there's something very wrong with me. Very wrong with me. If there's somebody who could stand in the middle of davening, and Shmu is the middle of davening, or walk into 770, stand very next to me, and say a four-letter word. There's nothing wrong with him. There's everything wrong with me. How is it that somebody could do that in front of me? Because if he could do it in front of me, I was lowered 10 stories now. That means, okay, I don't do that, okay. But there are those who do and there are those who don't. It's a choice. Once it's a choice, it's over. It's not a bechira chavshis. And in order to make something not a bechira chavshis, we need to be united. That we cannot stand things which are not right around us as well. We know the Medrash tells us, we're learning now Lech Lecha, Vayera, the Medrash tells us that Yitzchak and Yishmael, and the Rebbe brings it down in Chelik Chafei, the famous Sicha, Yitzchak and Yishmael had this famous, famous debate. And Yishmael said, I'm the greatest, because I had such an assignment, I was 13 when I went through a Bris Milah. You know what that means? I volunteered! I was an ish, I was a man, today I'm a man, 13, I was able to refuse, and I didn't. And Yitzchak answers the fanatical answer, now I was 8 days old, I couldn't even refuse. And what's the greatness? To Yishmael, to a goy, it's all about choice. He happened to make the right choice. But he could have made the other choice as well. Bechira chavshis to goy is really chavshis. That means it has no consequence. I can do whatever I want. Get out of there. That's not a foundation. To Yitzchak, he said, to me a bris milah is not a question of I decided to do that. It's not possible otherwise. I was ingrained when I was 8 days old. It's not my choice. It's not a question. But if everybody around us, and if you see half people do it like that, and half people don't, and some do like that, some don't, then we all know it is part of the equation. It is a choice. And my children will come to me, how come we're different? How come they could do it and I can't? And that makes it a very, very difficult problem. I told the story, you know, my Chabad house is in Suffern. I walked to Muncie for many years. It used to be, I used to walk sometimes for an hour on Shabbos. And I had my children walking with me. All of a sudden, in the middle of the way, they would say, Tati, I saw David. I saw, you know, Mark in a car. I used to tell them, why are you looking? Why? First of all, you embarrass the Yid. Why do you embarrass the Yid? Why are you looking? Secondly, you change the status. Maybe now he has a din of a Mechal Shabbos, the Feresia, as before he wasn't the Feresia. He was driving in a Goyish area, wasn't the Yiddish Yigit. And thirdly, your Shabbos is a second-class Shabbos now. If in your mind there are Yidin who drive on Shabbos, but Grada we don't, it is minute. It is in the background. It's subconscious, but your Shabbos is a lower Shabbos. Shabbos is something that cannot be violated. And especially because we deal with Baal HaTshuva, because we deal with people in the outside which are not religious, it has to be so clear to them too that Shabbos is something that it is impossible in the world to violate in my eyes. I happen to love every Yid, even while he's not holding there yet. But I despise Chilul Shabbos. I just love him. I was sitting in Florida. My son is a shliach in Florida. I was sitting at the Shabbos table. There's a fellow who lives there, grew up in Detroit. Friar person, but went through the whole system. Meaning he went through the camps. Not the cheder, but he went through all the camps. And all what Shluchim had to offer. What Shluchim had to offer for the outside world. He knows every song that Pirchei ever composed. And he knows every Lubavitcher Nigun, and he knows every, whatever there's out there, Shlomo's, whatever there is, he knows everything. And he could talk like a Hamish guy, lose everything. It is not from. He asked me, Rabbi, I realize that, you know, you don't come from a Lubavitch background. Perhaps you could explain to me these zealots, these Naturi Karta guys, these Satmar guys, who they hate Zionism, they hate Eretz Yisrael, they hate all Yidden. So I told them, it's not my job here to try to stand up for Satmar. I'm a Lubavitcher, and you're a Lubavitcher. Thank God we love you. What's your problem? He says, no, please, please. Just, I need to understand them too. I said, okay, if you want, I'll try to explain to you. So I told him, not everybody has the keiches, what the Rebbe had, of splitting hairs, of taking a person and understanding that Be'emes, what he's doing is an abominable, and it's a terrible thing, Rechmanu Litzlana Mechal Shabbos, but Yitamu Chatoim V'loi Chaitim, it's two separate things. It's a brother. It's like Rechmanu Litzlana, when somebody has to amputate a leg, you amputate like that, you ask 1,500 doctors' opinions, and even then, not sure you follow what he's saying, because it's my leg. But only when you know it's impossible that he's infiltrating in such a way that the machla, that it's impossible, only then you do it. So the Rebbe had that foresight, the ability to take and separate the two. The Aveda is Nebuchadne Aveda, but the Yid is a Yid, and the Shama Kedesh is a Tinik Shenishba. So you have to be Mekar of the Yid. The others could not separate. He's doing terrible things. He's schlepping my kids away. So he turns to me and he says, I understand. I don't understand why anybody can't understand the Lubavitcher way. Isn't it so simple? You separate the two. There's the fact, the act, and the person. You separate the two. It's so simple. But I realized that Psafraya, person, mitamol, could become better than a vision tzarebbe, skalene rebbe, and chvezbos, tayre tayre eden. He's mamish the Lubavitcher rebbe already. To the top. It's a chachma. It's a gewaldige koyach. So I asked him, tell me, you have a son? He says, no, I have a daughter. So I asked him, tell me, a kid, the bully outside would come and take a big baseball bat, and your daughter would come in with black and blue marks. Would you separate the two? Well, that's just the act you did. I love him with all my heart. Is that such an easy task what the Lubavitcher ever did? He says, do you really love him? Are you so eager, it's so simplistically to become a Lubavitcher? He says, you don't understand Satmar at all, huh? Because you don't understand how we cannot separate. You don't understand separation. You just don't hate an Aved at all. I said, it's fine. Chilul Shabbos, it's okay. It's not. You can't separate. It's not the easiest task. And we have to be so careful because we're dealing with that. That the inyonim which are not l'ruach hayoyim, l'ruach of Yerushalayim, that Be'emes were mekar of them, and as the Alter Rebbe says in Perek Lamed Beis, or Kula Hai V'ulai, just mitzvahs Ahavas Yisrael goes on them as well, Tanei Shenishbu, and there's the greatest mitzvah of his Gabri Surah Lachemet, the Alter Rebbe explains what Ahavas Yisrael means. Nevertheless, Chaz V'Sholem, to be influenced with one idea, that what they do is okay. And somehow, because Be'em Breda Shebe'em Breda, I have to make a mixed seating event for them, because otherwise they wouldn't come, and I have to look for all kulas in order to be machmir in Ahavas Yisrael, not in order to look for kulas. But in order to be machmir with more Ahavas Yisrael, we're finding a heter to do something. If it becomes commonplace, if it becomes something I'm complacent with and I'm happy with, and I don't feel uncomfortable when I walk in there, something very wrong with me. And he has to know that I'm uncomfortable. Because otherwise, he will never come to become a mainstream Demesel Chassid. He will always stay as a Baal Tshuva. And he will never become mainstream, because I never taught it to him that this was a special kula that I had to... So what goes around us is mighty important. And the very fact that we're doing nothing to that, that is a major, major stumbling block in our community. So of course, present company excluded. But the very fact that there are people out there, and somehow they're very comfortable in doing what they're doing in our midst and our presence, means that it's a discussion. It's not as a matter of fact. It's part of the equation, and there's discussions about it in groups, and another chinuch lesson, discussing all these things. It would be so clear to us, they too wouldn't be able to do it in front of us. I told the story once, I had a Chabad, in the Chabad house, there was a woman who came to a class. She started coming to classes, it was the very first few times she came. And she picked up her phone and she called me. She says, "Rabbi, the best friend of mine, we grew up together since kindergarten, is marrying off a child. Unfortunately, that person is not Jewish. With either a shiksa or a shagis, whatever it was. Can I go to the wedding?" I told the woman, "I'm sorry, you're not ready to hear my answer. Why are you calling me? You're a real, real novice. You're a real beginner. It is not possible for you to hear my opinion. You'll do what you need to do and you'll grow slowly, but I can't answer you." She says, "No, I want to know your opinion. You're the rabbi." I told her, "If you want, I'll give it to you. And I'll give it to you in a non-adulterated way. I'll give it to you in a pure form." So, I told her that I believe that they need you more there than they need their own mother and father. They need you more there. They need the approval of every friend, of every colleague, to make sure that it's normal, that it's accepted, that it's okay. And if you people like you wouldn't go, this would have been cut in half. If in the very beginning when it started to happen in America, if people wouldn't accept it and wouldn't go, it would have been a fraction of what goes on today. It's because of your acceptance. You're doing nothing, just being there. Well, I might not do it. My daughter will never do it. I'm more religious, but that's their belief. And I just respect them. And I'm just there because I respect them. That's what they want. That respect, you cannot go. I didn't hear from her for 6 months. She couldn't come to class or something. I didn't hear. I didn't even thought twice what she did. I knew for sure what she did. 6 months later, I get a phone call and she says, "Rabbi, somehow miraculously a voice deep inside in me told me, listen to the rabbi, listen to the rabbi, listen to the rabbi." And I did not go. But for 6 months, you think you didn't hear from me? I didn't hear from my friends either. For 6 months, she didn't talk to me. And last night she picked up her phone and she called me and she said, "Rabbi, I'm sorry," she said, told her name. She said, "I'm contemplating forgiving you for not coming to my wedding. It was my greatest day in my life, my daughter's wedding. A friend from kindergarten should violate in such a way a friend shouldn't show up. I was deeply, deeply hurt. But I'm contemplating forgiving you. But my husband, if he'll find out I'm talking to you, he'll cut the line. He's so furious. How dare you could do such a thing to a friend." And she turns to me, she says, "Rabbi," she's so hurt. "What do I respond to her? What do I tell her?" So I turned to her, I told her, "Pick up the phone and call her back and tell her you're contemplating to forgive her for inviting you." She says, "Wow. Wow. We have to be apologetic. We're standing and being afraid of what goes on. As maybe that person should be afraid. How dare," I asked her, "would she ever invited me?" "Oh no, you're a rabbi." "Ah, but she realized that you're not. Didn't she denigrate you? It wasn't the question of her doing it. By doing it in front of you and inviting you, she denigrated, she slapped you along. We have to have a stand." And here comes, whether it's part 3 or part 4, whatever it is, of what the Torah tells us, every time we go out to war, we have to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Anytime we have to conquer anything, the Torah tells us, Chazak ve'amot, that's for sure we all need. But then the Torah says, Lo yisira v'lo yisechas. Al tiru ve'al tarzo mipneim. Don't be afraid. That's what the Torah tells us. There is a phenomenon today, and I don't think I need any particular witness, I think the whole room could stand up. We're afraid of our children. We're literally afraid of them. As a principal of a school told me once, when I see the children in the pharmacy or in the fruit shop in the summertime when there's no uniform, I start crying. This is my children. And I told her, "I'm sorry, you might be a very good mashpia, you're not a principal. Because if you'd be a principal, the student would start crying. Why are you crying? Wrong person crying. If she saw you, she should have crossed the street and start crying." We have to stop being afraid. Because a foundation has one thing. It can't shake either. If it shakes, the whole building shakes. And if we're afraid, they know very well we're afraid of them, and they could manipulate. If we're silent in such a way, perhaps I'm forgiving you. You're not forgiving me. You have to turn the tables around. Who's afraid of whom? And if they will know that we put it down as a solid foundation at the beginning, yes, they would have the proper respect that they have to have for us. So what am I saying? Would every household, would every child get to Montreal at the same time? No. Would everyone become a Rav? No. Would each and everyone have the same level of Yiddish Shemayim? No, we need Mechanchem, Mashpien. Some mothers will do better jobs. Some fathers will inculcate more Torah, and so on and so forth. Eventually, everybody will get closer. And eventually, everybody will get there. If we're in the right kivun. But the first thing is we have to make sure that all of us, everybody, the entire shchuna, the entire household, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, everybody's on the kivun, Goyishkeit is out. And if there's ever any question ever asked, Rabbi, what's wrong with that? After a chuppah, you never ask, what's wrong with inviting another woman into the house? If it's Goyishkeit, it doesn't belong by us. And if we'll establish our homes that way, we will have so much less of problems. Yes? Who do I say that a child will never be chutzpahdik and we'll have to handle him? He will have issues? Of course there will be. We'll have mechanchim for that. Perhaps experts, whatever you want to call them. But the kivun, let's set ourselves up on the right kivun, on the right path, and build a solid house on solid foundations. Then, as the Torah, as we hear it many, many times, and we all saw it on the video, the beautiful, beautiful bracha established by Chazal, as Asher Kiddushonu, Hashem sanctified us, by Mitzvesav, Vetzivanu ala Aroyes, He forbidden us to go and friend the felder, to have anything to do with strange ideas in Yiddishkeit. Vehitelanu as Arusais, but only Vasalanu as Arusais, Vehitelanu as Ansiaslanu, Baruch Hashem is a man who goes to Chuppas. Vehitelanu as Ansiaslanu, Al Yidei Chupa V'Kedushin. And the bracha finishes off, Baruch Ato Hashem. You all know the tune that Rebbe says, Baruch Ato Hashem. Mekadesh Amei Yisrael. Al Yidei Chupa V'Kedushin. And that is the way, Kadesh Amei Yisrael, Yidin Ar Mekudesh to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through a beautiful, beautiful chupa of the beauty of a home of chassidus, varemkeit, sipurim, nigunim, and all the inyanim that a chassidish home has, built and based on Yesedas of Kiddushin, that Goyishkeit is out. And if any person ever comes with questions, how do I influence? Let's just look back in ourselves. Do I have magazines at home? It's to me Reader's Digest. I know everybody's going to scream, why do you pick the best one? But is Goyish Hashkafas to me normal? Then what do you expect from next generation? And what do you expect? Or to me, everything is Klol Hadrach HaVachinuch. That's my life. Or if I have a shaykhis to Ashkafas Zaris, and I have things in my house which are natural goyish, and if I sit with it, okay. Let me finish off with one point. Nobody ever became fry from talking Lashon Hara. It's a very, very drastic and dramatic and statement. I'm not from the Spitz Chabad who say don't talk Lashon Hara. Chas v'shalom. It's like a fair lechaveira. And we have Slachlanu for that. And we have Yom Kippur for that. And we have to learn the halachas. And the Alter Rebbe brings the Gemara, the Chazal. It's Keneged David Zor, Gil Aroyesh, V'chazdam. It's like a fair lechaveira. Nevertheless, I'll admit, from doing that aveira, of course, aveira, gereres aveira, who knows what eventually, but from talking Lashon Hara, Sazak was a chundurich gefallen. I'll do tshuva. That's not who I am. That's not my life. I'll do tshuva. But from going with a yarmulke like this, which doesn't say in any Shulchan Aruch that it's aser, we have hundreds of kids who went off to derech. Hundreds. That is an identity question. There are no places where it says in Shulchan Aruch that you can't go with denim. I'm just picking a mushroom. And men have the same thing, genes. Whatever it is. I'm not talking about Dina Tznias. I'm talking Dina Yiddishkeit. Chanyokishkeit, as we call it. The foundation of our home is what I ran to Lubavitch was for Chanyokishkeit. When I came to Lubavitch, when the Yidden that I saw, that schlepped me, the beauty of Ibergegeb, Meinoid Mavadis, Gornish, Gornish Toh. And that is the foundation of a home. Once we start slipping in that, and all of a sudden, every second thing, as long as it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, it's kosher. There are many lavim in the Torah which are very clear. And there's one lav in the Torah which is very ambiguous and unclear. And it's called Loiselchu B'chukei Sagoi. It doesn't have too many details. It changes in every generation. Story that Rebbe told about Kalashin in the time of the Tzemach Tzedek. They were Maver Sheikhet because he went with Kalashin. The Rebbe smiled. I too go with Kalashin. It's a very ambivalent type of a mitzvah. Because it's a gray area, it doesn't have detail to it. Nevertheless, it is so encompassing in everything. That is what a yid is. Ich geh nicht in goyish weg. If it smells goyish, it's strafe. And if I could only ask the shayla, what's wrong with it, and I'm trying to find a way to kasher it, then you know exactly where the Yiddish Shemayim of the household is going to be. It ripped apart the Yisaitis of the home. But if in those areas, which are the areas which are schwach, and there's ambiguity involved, if we're solid in those areas, there's a guarantee that the foundation is very strong. Loiselchu b'chikis hagoy is an encompassing mitzvah that guards over all the rest of the mitzvahs. That makadesh amu Yisrael, we have a separate life. Yisayim loiselchu, we have nothing to do with them. V'agoyim loyischashav, we have nothing to do with goyishkeit. And that is in every area that we want, whether we want to look like gypsy type, loose, tziganerish, or on the other hand, too fancy, whatever it is, if it's goyishkeit, if we'll start addressing that, and not just waiting for another explanation from another speaker or another class, but starting to talk to ourselves about this, then we will see the atzlach in our children in an enormous way. And Rebbe Shlomit Helfen, v'heim ikiru et chila, as the Rebbe pointed out many times, the children will be the first ones to greet Mashiach. And we will have the schus because we gave them the right outlook, an unambiguous and a non-budging Yiddishkeit. I want to thank Rabbi Mintz for calling me. I remember the first moment we met was at the Kinnas HaShluchim HaZeiri in Muncie in New City, and it happened to be a speaker who spoke before me. And he was talking about fundraising. He said there are many people you can walk in and ask $10,000, no problem. Other people are very scared for commitment. So you have to make them, they should give a pledge, but it should be a non-binding pledge. If they want, they could have charota, 90% will give it anyway, but non-binding. And for that, I went off at that point in the entire chinuch discussion, is Yiddishkeit really non-binding? Is it arbitrary? Is it a choice? If we take all that out, that's thanks to that speech, and that's thanks that why we got together tonight, what he called me. I just want to finish off. Since this is all on behalf of all the yeshivas, Iguda yeshivas are demanding this, I know that yeshivas suffer today from one thing. Many, many parents take the child and throw it into the yeshiva, as if it's a mikveh. Tohir, take care of him. And they think they could have a television at home. They could have the child on the internet a whole day. And they could do anything, the yeshiva will take care. And it will work. And I pick up a phone and I call a father and I say, something is wrong. Your child is cold. Ice! It doesn't come to any fabrengen, and if it does, not touched. So he says, that's what I'm paying my money for. Vadim Amon, warm him up a little bit. Why don't you do your job? And $12,000 isn't enough for you? And I looked at him, you know. As the Rebbe said once, in an outcry, where are the mashpim, the Rebbe said. And first and foremost, the Rebbe said, it's in a Sikh and Tedis Menachem, just in Sukkis. Where are the mashpim to teach the children that if there's a keli tinev, if there's shmutz in a keli, you can't put chassidus in that keli. It's not going to work. These are the words of the Rebbe. This is all we spoke a whole night. If there's no foundation, And what are we building? The house. In terms of Igata Yeshivas. The yeshivas are the beautiful house where they're learning the Ran, the Bach, and the Alter Rebbe, and the Chassidus, the Fabrengens. All goes on in there. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful home. But the foundation has to come from way before. And the Varamkeit, that he's ready and eager to, he's expecting and he's looking forward for the Varamkeit of the yeshiva, has to come from parents. We cannot sit back and lay down and say, take it over, do the job. We have to provide the foundation. For the Rebbe Shtarhelfen, it's Rishon Alev, the Schus, B'nereinu v'skaneinu, as the Rebbe said millions of times, B'nereinu v'skaneinu neilech, v'karev mamash, Mashiach Tzidkenu, Amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Gans, for your inspiring words. We really hope here in Crown Heights we'll be able to build a strong foundation to make the Rebbe proud of us. Just before, I have two important announcements. Please give me 2 more minutes. I'd appreciate everyone's attention. Just 2 more minutes. Tonight's program is a result of a cooperation between the yeshivas. It's called the Igud Menahalei Yeshivas. And there are several programs which we have instituted which are extremely important. Mirtz Hashem on Chof Mar Cheshvan. That's November 18th, Tuesday. We're going to have a very special program with Rabbi Daniel Schoenbach for all of the parents of 6th, 7th and 8th grade students, both boys and girls. It's going to take place in Lubavitch Yeshiva on Crown Street. That will be at 8:30. That's on Chof Mar Cheshvan, November 18th. Rabbi Schoenbach will be speaking on learning how to recognize and prevent at-risk behavior. Rabbi Schoenbach is an expert. He's an author on parenting skills for children and teenagers. He has a private practice, counseling, family therapy. He takes care of the mentoring program for the Igud Menahalei Yeshivas. It's going to be something very worthwhile for everyone to come and to participate. One last thing before we begin with the questions and the answers. This coming Motzei Shabbos, we have a special Ovos Subonim program that begins. It's a program that puts together the father and the son in a wonderful atmosphere that connects them both, that helps to make this foundation that Rabbi Gans is speaking about. Baruch Hashem, we have it already in 5 shuls in the Shechuna. Please, take advantage of this golden opportunity. Tapes and CDs of tonight's talk by Rabbi Gonzer will be available in the yeshivas. The Igud Menahalei Yeshivas, I want you to know, is Rabbi Lustig, Rabbi Yosef Simpson, and myself. We are trying to bring those type of projects into the community that will build this foundation. And we hope with the Avish's help, that in Mirtz Hashem we should all have much chassidish nachas from every one of our children. We will bring nachas to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe will read us into the Gula Mitzvah Shleim B'Korah Mamash. We are going to now take several questions, which Rabbi Gans will answer.
What? Yeah? Letting my son or daughter go to the books.
The boys in my son's class come from homes of lower standards. How do I help my son deal with that? I'll repeat the question. The boys in my son's class come from homes on lower standards than my own. How do I help my son deal with that?
In other communities, that might be a very difficult question, because there's no such a concept as shlichus. And if there's no concept of shlichus, you're an equal. And you're influenced by peers. By us, we have shlichus. And since there's a concept that you could reach out to others, and as we know by chametz, the halacha is chametz and Pesach cannot be visible. Because you might, chas v'shalom, come to eat from it. You have to koifa all of keli until you could burn it. You can't certainly not touch it. But how about when you take it to burn it? The Gemara says, no problem. Well, maybe you'll eat it. Leave it there. No, the Gemara says, if you're going to eradicate it, if that's your mission, how in the world will you end up eating it? But if it's just lying dormant there, it is a great, great danger. You might eat it. In Shlichus, you go out and you know that it's your mission to influence them. And that's how you have to put a pride in your children to understand our household is what is right and this is what is correct. And unfortunately, other kids don't have it yet. They will have it for whatever their reasons are. And it's your job to influence them. And by that, you have a way of not allowing them to be influenced from the others. Of course, all what we spoke until now is equally relevant to this. If the child had a solid foundation until he got to know those children, he is the one who's going to look down at their behaviors way before you look down at them. And that is a mighty important point. I remember I told the Bacharim that I see what a big difference today and between 20, 30 years ago. Many years ago, I was in Chinuch as well. I always remember being on the same page with my students. Of course, students always needed guidance. A Bacher could be lazy. I will schlafen. He has no koyach. You have to push him. You have to guide him. But in Shitta, he didn't have the shaila. What's wrong with this and what's wrong with that? He did not have that shaila. In fact, he could have given a better explanation than his teacher. He was sometimes a bigger spitzchabat and frumer than his teacher. Children are always rebellious. But in a good generation, they're rebellious. They're frumer than the parents. I remember in my generation, if we found the parent that had a radio at home, the kid children used to throw it out of the window. Rebellious children. Because the parents put down the right foundation. So the children, they were on the same page. That was then. You need to guide them because they're lazy. Today, unfortunately, it's two generations. The teacher and the student is full of shilas. It's a different life. If you train the child with the yisoid, he is as frum as you are. And if you despise the behavior of that child, he too will. Of course, you have to talk to him about it. Can't let it become complacent, as we said before, because that becomes part of the equation. As we spoke before, if you keep getting exposed too much, it does hinder, so you make him a shliach.
What do you think about me letting my son or daughter take parva books from the library? If it's wrong, how can I change it now?
As I said before, I'm not the biggest expert. Not necessarily that I have an eitzah. How can I change now on certain things? Parva books. The term bothers me very much. What does it mean, part of the books? Books are a very dangerous thing. There's a sefer called Chanech Lenar, which is the tzavah from the Rebbe Rashab. And he writes to the Rebbe in Shtern Asara. He says, we have a child, and make sure that he should say Moidani, I don't remember the details, Vashen Negel Vassar, and make sure two things, that he should never, never have Shlechte Chavrusas, because Rabim Chalolim Epilo, Bet Chavirim brought down many, many people. And second, he says there's such a phenomenon called a bichl, a book. And what a bichl could do, you have no idea what anything else you know, could bring down. I always thought to myself that with all the outreach that we do in the world, we're still missing one great point. And if we would have only the billions of dollars to do it, of to produce a real movie. Not for us, for the fry world. In a movie, you could put in anything you want. Because the story could be dragged out about 7 years. It could have a Rosh Hashanah in there, and it could have a Yom Kippur. You could have the best speech of Yom Kippur of the year in there. And you could have everything in the drama that people live it. People wake up in the middle of the night, they're scared of what they watched last night, and it becomes their fiber. And that's what really a book does many times. A book is a reality that seeps in so deep into children. And what we think is parav is sometimes not so parav. If it's not censored by a mother, by a mechanach, I don't know, it's so prevalent today, I don't know what to tell you. But it really, perhaps the best thing would be, what I would say, is read along with her. You read it first and let her read it after that. At least you know to undo the damage and make sure if it's not too damaging. But it's very difficult to say that it's really just parf. It's agoyish hashkafa. Agoyish hashkafa, that's what we spoke before. When we spoke before about being unwavering, not ambiguous, but solid, I was thinking to myself many times, there is an industry in America and the world today which is a multi-billion-dollar industry. And it's halfway failing. I don't know how matzliach it is. And it's called stopping to smoke. It has nicotine patches and nicotine gum and nicotine pills and all kinds of different ways of stopping people of smoking. And it's not an easy job. People are literally biologically addicted to it. And Yidden have one thing, what Orthodox Yidden have, which all of these companies can't compete with it. Tavlin Echad Gemara says, we have one spice, the Shabbos Shemoy, it's called Shabbos. You could literally swear that our Frumer Yid will not smoke in Shabbos, no matter what. I don't know if the craving goes away, I never smoked, I can't tell you. Whether the wine and the chalm take over, but I could promise you one thing, Afrumer Yid with Nishtechen and Shabbos. But when it becomes 2.5 stars, Matzah Shabbos, boy is the Satzara. You can have 25 people standing out there and waiting on 1 foot when, well, the Rebbe once davened when it was 36 minutes. No, well, there's no 42 minutes. By a time the Rebbe davened earlier, that means the Zman really is really earlier. Can't, that's Nishtechen Tehalten. But until Shkia, there was no problem. No problem. Because that was solid, that was a yisait. The gray areas are those things that kill us. The gray areas allow everything to seep in. These part of a book sometimes might be so difficult and so problematic. Because you could get just an idea which by a goy is quite kosher. It's just goyish. So, hadgonish shetomit mekadosh ame yisrael al deichupa v'kiddush. And we seep that into them, and then we come and ask, where did I go wrong? What did I do? So we have to be very, very careful, and you don't try just to go head on with that when they're older. It's difficult, and they'll start fights. But start with the whole lecture of tonight. Start with the whole concept of what is Yiddishkeit, that we're different, that anything which is goyish, chukes hagoy is treif, and explain tziches and other things why it's treif, and then that will be just a result, a side fringe benefit of all that. That she should be on your page and she should say it's treif, not that you will have to say it's treif. Obviously, it's going against what I said before. In a foundation, you don't do that. If you do it early enough, it's a no-no to begin with.
There are several questions that revolve around the same point. I'll try to put into one question. How can one become that kind of a dogma where other people would be embarrassed to be not sneistic or speak inappropriately? And how can we practically take a stand in the community to show that we're not going to tolerate hashpoas achutz?
Taking a stand
Very good. The man of the chuppah and the suin saved us again. The answer to many of these questions, Lubavitch Youth Organization, Levitzchak Library, 305 Kingston Avenue. Very well put. The question was, of now not to, how can we become such a dugma chaya that people should not be able to do things in front of us. It doesn't mean that we have to go down to every woman on the street who is not sneezed, they can start screaming and pouring water over them. It doesn't mean that we have to go over to every bacher who all of a sudden started touching a beard and give him a patch. But there has to be something that in some way he should feel uncomfortable. I heard that from Reb Chaim Shapiro, he's a colleague of mine in yeshiva. He told me that there's a certain rabbi in Florida who walked by the Rebbe for dollars. And we all know the Rebbe's gist oir. The Rebbe was gissing oir and oir. And this rabbi was very close to the Rebbe. He had a lot of keruvim from the Rebbe. And at one point, he was a veltish person, not a Lubavitcher. At one point, he took off his beard. He walked by dollars. And the Rebbe gave him a dollar, didn't look at him, didn't smile, garnished. And he walked by. And he stopped, and he like turned back, and he asked the Rebbe, "The Rebbe kam ich nicht? The Rebbe doesn't know who I am? I don't want to say the name." He said the name, let's call him Yankel. He says, "Das nicht der Yankel, der mich kam." He said, "Yankel weiter." He didn't accept it. He didn't acknowledge, it's fine, it's okay. He didn't patch him. But, no, it's not the same Yankel that I knew. There's something wrong. When I have students who all of a sudden, after 2-3 years, I see Mittamol, the Bortfeld. Mittamol is in college. Er wird a lawyer, er wird a doctor. What am I supposed to say? It's a big shaila. Do I just... beautiful, very good. It's a machaya, and everybody should know it's fine and dandy, it's okay. It's not okay. Do I have to start mussering him? It's a bit too late. He's in college. Let him finish the course. He's the third year lawyer, becoming a lawyer. I'm not going to tell him stop. But it's not okay. And he should hear that it's not okay in a certain way. I'd like to share with you something. I spoke in the Kinnas HaMechanchim in the country this year. Many people have this gewaltige discussion whether we should do things through negative way or through positive way. It's a famous, famous old discussion. So I told them, I know by malamdim, there was always two types of malamdim and two types of teachers, and they both work very well. There are those malamdim who are very disciplined. If you don't come with your homework, don't bother coming into the classroom. You'll know it's going to be an assignment. You know clearly what your homework is. It's very clear everything, what you need to do, and if you don't do it, you know the consequence. And they're very matzliach. Kids have the respect for it, and they really face the music, and they do what they're supposed to do. They step up to the charge. There's another malamet who's labdafka mesuder, and perhaps is missing some foundations of that, but he's there varem, and he gives gewaldige varemkeit to kids, and they sipur tzadikim and sipur chassidim, and he elevates the children. He makes them Yiddish Shemayim. Perhaps they learn a little less. It's not Masudr. Time goes by. We're schmoozing a lot. Also derech. Both are good to derech. Everybody has his way. And you sometimes cannot change the malamet. If it's not who he is, you're not going to make him do otherwise. But I told them, if you really want to know what the chesedik way is, I told them it's as follows. A famous story. You all know the story, but I'll tell it anyway. It's a famous story of the Chafetz Chaim. There was a bacher in Chafetz Chaim's yeshiva in Radin. That Rachman al Etzlan, one Shabbos, he was Mechalal Shabbos, put on a light or something, whatever it was, a candle. And Sunday morning, the Chafetz Chaim found out about it, and the Bachar walked into yeshiva. Everybody became silenced. They started standing on their toes, knowing that he's going to have a fit, he's going to just break the bones of this Bachar, the Chafetz Chaim. They didn't know what to do. But they saw the Chafetz Chaim, called him over. You could hear a pin drop. And he took his hands and he started to tell him, "Yankel, Yankel, Shabbos, Shabbos, Kedesh." Heiliger, heiliger Shabbos. And for half an hour he held his hand and he cried. Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. He cried. So the Bachar walked away and he told his colleagues, these hands will never be Mechal Shabbos again. Those tears pierced those hands. They will not be Mechal Shabbos. If you want to call it positive, fine. You don't have to patch. You could do it through that. But that means as follows. If we see a person who's going off the derech, who's not doing, and I'm not talking a person who's considering himself going off the derech, that's a different story sometimes, when a person is already, you know, rebellious, that, I'm not an expert in that, I don't want to go there at least. I'm talking normal people, who consider themselves as part of the community, as they have their deis and the shittas and the mothers of the family, the mothers of the class and the fathers of the class. And they have a television in front of everybody open. And they do such things which no bush of it. It's right. This is who I am. That's what I'm talking. I'm not talking about somebody's going off that needs a different chinuch. But that person, so the negative way would be to scream at him, throw him out of shul, shake it tzareis. The positive way would be every Thursday night you sit in Fabreng with him. And you learn sikhas with him. And you cry. And you beg. And the third way, which we call positive, is called chaos. Just let it rampant. Let every ishkal hayashur bein of yasa. A community that people do whatever they want. Nice and dandy. That's called chaos. That's not called positive. So a way of doing is you have a breda. Some people could do it with looks. Some people could do it with talking in a very nice way. But it takes a village to do things. And you need the whole village. And therefore we need them as well. And there's no question that there are certain things if a person would do in front of me that I will talk. I'll give you an example. I'll give you a simple example. It's a little bit of a different topic, but I'll give you a pashut example. I had one of my kids. I had an argument with him. Doesn't want to go daven in a certain Polish shtibel in my shchenes. But says, it's full of chitzenis, the patch with the hand, the mishrait, and it's koilis, we scream, it's chitzenis. We all know that sometimes we'd rather go daven in a young Israel shul than to walk into a Polish shtibel. And it's all under the disguise, because that's chitzenis. So I told my son, Hezichtu, people who had no chitzenis was Mendel Futterfass, Berke Chaim, Nissen. These were people with no chitzenis. So if you maybe you want Lahavdel Ben Chaim, Lachaim Efshir, Evald Gringlas, these are people who have no chitzenis. Living a life of Ruchnis, Hecher, a mention, this world doesn't touch them. All the rest of us, tired of finding Eden, we all have chitzenis. But we only use our chitzenis where things touch us. We don't make a wedding, but pnimius. Meaning, Baruch Hashem, my daughter is born 20 years old, she found the right shidduch. So we'll sit together, the family, mother and father, and we'll take a couple of chayim. And thank you, the Mabish, and Baruch Hashem, getroffen, azivu, kogum, and nochens, was on deidus, vishorim, and verochem, with vinschen, alle brachas. No, we get pictures, and we get flowers, and we get music, and we're busy with the invitations, and with seating, and for months and hours, and what goes into this, and then I go to Tanakh, and all the towns and the patchim, and what's all this chetzain? What is this negeya? Time to maybe shnzog a kittel till him and finish. Something that is negeya to us, that we live in it, we put our whole chetzainis in. And something that's not negeya to us, we don't put. It's not a question that we don't put our chetzainis into davening because it's chetzainis. Is because davening perhaps is not interesting to us. So a quiet, the young Israel davening is better. If chitzoni is, there's a letter from the Rebbe that was lately going around, took it off from one of the sites on the internet. It was a letter from the Rebbe that goes back to Tavshin Tezvav, to Kfar Chabad. The girls in Kfar Chabad did not have yet a Beis Rivka. So all of them went to Bnei Akiva type yeshivas, modern yeshivas. And there was a big ruach over there. People wanted to start, they should go to Bnei Barak, to Beis Yaakov. So there was a big kanoish shittus in Kfar Chabad that they wouldn't want to go there. It's Misnagdim, and all they do is Chetzain is Dikaways, and it's next door to the Misnagdim Shetoponovich, and so we don't want to go there. So the Rebbe writes a very sharp, sharp letter. The Rebbe writes, first of all, it should have been a Beis Rivka, but I don't want to get involved in that, says the Rebbe now. I'm not here to criticize right now. The Rebbe says, I'm here just to encourage. The very fact that people telling me that they don't want to go there because it's all Chetzainis, don't tell me that you're such Pnimiye that you can't stand Chetzainis. It's quite simple. We know, and you know, that Beis Yaakov will demand much more from you than the Bnei Akiva does. And that's exactly why you don't want to go. Dreinish Kankop. Simple. And the Rebbe just cut it out. We have all kinds of excuses and many things. There's no question that there are certain things which if a person will belittle himself in front of me in a certain area which is below my dignity, that I will find a way to tell him no. If they'll start talking things so inappropriate in front of my kids, I will find a way that they will not do it in front of me. LMI, uncovered chattel, is not yet that low to me. Or collectively to us. Or chapan abort is not that yet low. So I have a question. How do I approach him? How do I approach him? It's again a question as of what we said before, in such a way that to us it has to be so treif, so intolerable that he knows it. He should feel uncomfortable. It doesn't mean I'm patching him. Do it with the greatest love and kindness you could do it. But it's clear that it's something that brings me down. It's something that makes me uncomfortable. They walk around the most comfortable people, not comfortable, they are zoggers. And I said many times, America has now a war in Iraq. And to say they're winning is a difficult statement. I don't know what's going on, whatever. But it's very difficult. I can tell you one thing. They're not losing because they don't have enough ammunition. With one button, they could eradicate and flatten the entire Iraq with Iran together. It's not a question that they have no power at the front lines. They have enough men, enough power, enough bombs to do everything. It's because of a liberal media standing behind and scares them. Oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. And that's exactly what goes on by us too. We're so scared. Loisira v'loisechas, that's what holds us back. Our children are ready to listen. The community is ready to listen. There are a few vocal courts, very vocal people who somehow threaten, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, you'll turn off people, you'll do it. And that's the voice that stops us. Let's stop that. That's standing in the way. It's not that we have no keiches, we have all the keiches in the world to stop it and to change everything. Every community in the world does it. They're missing our citizens, they're coming to us after that. That's the beauty we have to offer. We should learn from them how to get basics. It's very simple, it's basic and it's not even a question. Thank you very, very much. Yelcho Mechayel Ocheil on Asach Asach Yiddish Achsidish Anachas.
Reisen Ashekoyach Dvarma Yoytzim and Alev Nichnasim Alev.